Welcome and thanks for joining me today. Well, this Thursday, America will celebrate the 400th anniversary of the first Thanksgiving. And if you've followed our programs over the years, you know that on certain U.S. holidays, I've taken time to share with America and the world about our holidays. Well, today I have a story about an unlikely hero. In 1621, Squanto introduced himself to the pilgrims at Plymouth. Speaking perfect English with his right hand raised, he greeted them saying, "Welcome, Englishmen, welcome." Here's the rest of the story of Squanto.
In the winter of 1620, the pilgrims at Plymouth are struggling to survive. The long journey to America has taken a heavy toll on the weary travelers. They were not equipped to deal with the many challenges in the New World, and nearly half perished in the early days of their journey. In the midst of their struggle, their prayers would be answered through a series of divine and tragic events that occurred years earlier in the life of a young native boy named Tisquantum. It was the early 1600s in the area that would soon be called Massachusetts. Tisquantum and his tribe were curious about the white men from across the ocean who would visit their shoreline from time to time. When the ships arrived, Tisquantum and others went to investigate. During one of those visits, an English sailor, Thomas Hunt, not satisfied with his income and looking for dishonest gain, came to the region looking for opportunities. Hunt broke trust with the tribes and took Tisquantum and 23 other natives aboard his ship. The natives were forced into the ship's hull and taken across the ocean to Spain to be sold into slavery. Distrust for the white man grew in Tisquantum's heart during his travel across the sea. Tisquantum did not know what his future would hold and wondered if he would ever see home again. Upon landing in Spain, the slave traders sold several natives. But Tisquantum was set free by a group of Spanish friars who disrupted the event before Tisquantum's sail. The friars took him in, and he lived among them. They taught him their self-sustaining lifestyle, planting and harvesting crops. Tisquantum grew to love and trust the monks, and life was good with them. But his desire to return home to his people, his tribe, never left him. The friars devised a plan to get Tisquantum back to his homeland and to his beloved tribe. It would not be easy, and it would take several years, but their plan was put into action. He made his way to England, where he lived with and worked for an English businessman named John Slaney. Slaney and his Newfoundland company were looking for opportunities to expand trade with the New England natives. Tisquantum had learned how to speak English fluently and would earn his way back to America, working for the company as a translator. Hope sprung up in Tisquantum as he believed he would soon be home with his tribe. He remained in England for a few more years, but Tisquantum's hope never died. He'd been places that few in his tribe could even imagine, and he longed to tell them about all that he'd done. Finally, in 1619, everything was in place. Once more, he sailed across the ocean. This time, his destination was home. With his feet finally back on familiar soil, Tisquantum ran towards his village, excited to be reunited with his loved ones. His heart was crushed by what he discovered. Plague had ravaged his people only months earlier, and everyone had died. Of his tribe, only Tisquantum remained. Confused and alone, he pondered his existence, his purpose. Why had he endured the years of struggle and false hope in strange lands? Why did he make it all the way home, only to find such devastation? He was accepted into the neighboring Wampanoag tribe, but in his heart, he knew he did not belong. Word came to Tisquantum that a group of European settlers had set up their camp on the very site of his former village. They were English, pilgrims. He spoke their language and knew their ways. He saw how they struggled to survive. His heart went out to them, and he longed to help them. With the blessing of the Wampanoag chief, Tisquantum made his presence known. The pilgrims were filled with fear at the sight of him. So far, relations with the native tribes had not been easy, and tensions were high. As Tisquantum neared the entrance of the village, he raised his voice and spoke in perfect English.
My name is Tisquantum, and this is Big Bear. We mean you no harm.
The pilgrims were amazed at the sight and sound of him. They welcomed him in, and he made his home with them. In the spring, Tisquantum taught the pilgrims what he had learned from his own tribe and his time with the friars in Spain, how to plant crops and fertilize seeds. He was their interpreter and helped make peace with the Wampanoag and other tribes in the area. In the fall of 1621, the harvest was abundant. The pilgrims were thriving. God had answered their fervent prayers through Tisquantum, and in the process, healed his broken heart. In November of that year, the pilgrim leaders held a great feast, giving thanks to God for providing for their needs. William Bradford, the leader of the pilgrims, asked Tisquantum to invite the Wampanoag tribe to the Thanksgiving celebration. They came and joined the party for 3 days, and there was peace and joy in the region. Without Tisquantum's help, the pilgrims may not have survived those early brutal years and lived with the pilgrims until his death. He became known as Squanto, and his legend lives on today in the story of the first Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening. I'm David Denault, and from all of us at About Space Today, Happy Thanksgiving!